welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. Guys, hang on to your seats tonight. This is going to be another one of those interesting, kind of creepy things. My special guests tonight are Seth and Blue Cloud Coronado of the Sedona Shamanic School, and they are my soul retrieval teachers, and we're going to be talking about some really interesting things that go on with pieces of your soul flying off. So for those of you that are not familiar with this, it may just kind of knock your socks off. So first we have Seth. So welcome to the show, Seth.
Hi.
This is going to be so cool because, you know, so many of the listeners don't know anything about this weird stuff that I like to talk about, and weird but yet ancient. So if you would first give a short bio about yourself and your dad and how you got into this, and then let's start talking about what soul retrieval really is.
I was in a mind control program, a military mind control program, and my father helped save me. He had cultivated a certain level of psychic ability through many years of meditation, and once he realized what was happening to me, he helped break my connection to a computer that operates at the frequency of thought. And once he broke that connection, then I began to get free.
Mm-hmm. And now, for how many years were you in this military mind control program?
Since before birth.
Wow. Now, did your dad know about this, that this
No.
was going on before?
Uh-uh.
Okay. And how does one get into one of those programs? How do they get you?
In a past life, I guess I had signed myself over to Reptilian Command or something like that, and I I created a self-inflicted injury, and through that injury, they were able to get into my mind and use that energy for their advantage. At the time it happened, however many thousands of years ago this occurred, I was congruent with it, and I guess I hurt a lot of people, and they helped me do that. And so after I reincarnated over and over and over again, of course, you know, I forgot all of that. But however, the part of myself that was cleaved off during the self-inflicted injury was still in their equipment. And so they were able to access me later as I reincarnated into this life.
You know, and that's one thing that I think is real important for the listeners to hear about, because you know, most of my listeners are pretty well aware that there are many more levels of existence that we're currently playing in, and that we do have these past life connections. But in case there's new listeners, on this show we talk about all kinds of things because all of these things do affect our health. And so, you know, the whole premise of enlightened medicine is that we take all these things into consideration. And we're going to talk about a lady a little bit later that I met about a month ago, who had basically a similar thing, that she had kind of been in charge of quite a few people and had done something that caused a retribution against her planet, and, you know, everybody got killed. So she still carries all of this need for self-forgiveness and things like that. And maybe this is why we're all working so hard right now and getting people to forgive themselves, because as long as you take the blame for whatever it was that happened many lifetimes ago, then they do have that in. And, you know, you may not even know it. You know, I look at you, Seth, and I think, you know, how many years did you go through this without even knowing that this was affecting you?
I went through about 25, and then they began to finalize the hookup. And then as the hookup began to finalize, it began to bleed through as to what was really going on. They would enter thoughts into my mind of combat and stuff like that, and what was happening is the computer would ask me a question, and then my mind would give a response back, and then they would use that as a tie-in.
Hmm. Like what kind of questions would they ask?
How to solve certain combat situations.
Oh.
And they would ask different questions, and then as soon as I answered back the answer, my mind was tied that much more into the computer until a point where a saturation was reached at about 28 years, and that was when they were hoping to deploy the entire system.
Now,
and that's when I was freed.
When these things occurred, when you were getting these questions,
Uh-huh.
Did the questions come to you like they were just an idle thought from your own brain, like your own voice?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like me thinking it.
Yeah.
And then later, as I began to notice it more and more, I realized that there was it wasn't me. And I could see people talking to me also.
Mm.
Whatever equipment they were using, they seemed to use, it was like a room. And the room was, looked like a room that was all white tile.
Mm-hmm.
And as the computer was accessing me, whatever programming team could walk into that room, and then I could see them in my mind as they talked to me.
Hmm. Wow. So that must have been kind of weird to have that happen.
Yeah, so it was a combination of experiencing thoughts that were my own and seeing these people talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at a frequency that's my thought, so part of my mind believed that it was making it up.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the dangers right now, and one of the physicists that I had on the show, Rick Miller, was talking about that last year, about how they now have the total capability to read your frequency from outer space, and they've got it all cataloged in the big computer banks, and they can actually play whatever they want to back to you inside your own head.
Yeah, they can search for a weakness and then utilize that weakness against you.
Yeah. So that's very scary stuff.
Yeah, machine-assisted psychic combat.
Yeah. And, you know, the Russians have been looking into this, since before the Cold War. But, you know, a lot of people don't understand that these programs have been going on in America, too, for a long time. And everybody says, well, you don't have to because the other guy's doing it. But the problem is that they're perpetrating it against the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, there's a larger, long-scale Illuminati plan to take over the Earth.
Yeah, because it's a lot easier to control people that are mind-controlled, you know, and there's just a handful of families that own the world that are trying to make sure they get, you know, total control because there's more of us than there are of them. So what better way than to have all these guys that are implanted and controlled that don't even know it, and then they just go and do whatever that the voices tell them to do.
Right.
And they don't think of them as the voices because it's coming to them as their own thought.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it used to be that, you know, if you were hearing voices, you were crazy and you went to the loony bin. And
mm-hmm. I believe there's a thing that they call the beast computer.
Mm.
And they could link slaves in the field in groups.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is the mark of the beast then, huh?
I'm not sure.
Very, very interesting stuff. I know I've had this kind of stuff practiced against me also. And thank God, you know, I spent most of my lifetime learning what was me and what wasn't me. But I can attest to it. I've had thoughts come into my head, and I just start to laugh because I know it's not me. But it sounds like me, or
mm-hmm.
it sounds like somebody that I would normally respond to, you know, that type of thing. And they try all kinds of subterfuge, you know. They'll try being really gentle, like, oh, it's the voice of your guide or your guardian.
Right, yeah, they'll come to you as a guide or something.
Yeah. And so, you know, we live in a town full of people that are under that, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty scary stuff. And I see it happening more and more. And, you know, I keep telling people, if you just stay in your heart, and if you know the difference between self and non-self, that's the only way you're going to get out of this, because otherwise you're going to do whatever the voices tell you to do because you think it's your own thought. And especially if they tune into some kind of weakness that you've got within you, which is one reason why they're pushing all the vices and everything, too, because then they approach you through that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty amazing stuff. Before we go into some of the stories about, you know, how you recognize this and things like that, one of the things that I wanted to do is make sure that we got in, you know, the Sedona Shamanic School and how to contact you guys and the kinds of programs that you offer. So let's start out with that, and we'll repeat it again at the end.
Okay. Well, what happened was my father ended up meeting a woman that was trained in classical Cherokee soul recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I did not completely... that's what she said it was, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a technique of going to the lower world to get your power animal, which is a being that is reincarnating between animal bodies. And that way it's not, it's the being that's not against you, that it works with you as a non-contest.
Mm-hmm.
And then use that to travel through reality to acquire the soul piece or the part of, or get information to help heal the client.
Mm-hmm.
So what she did was she basically dived into the computer and pulled my pieces back out and mm-hmm. put them back in me. And when that happened, I was disconnected completely from their system. So once that happened and we saw the effectiveness of it, we started training other people in the technique, which is actually very simple. And we have it in three levels. And the first one's level one and two, and that's usually taken the first time. The first level is where you go into a trance and you go to the lower world and you acquire a power animal. And then there's a couple other journeys you go on where you meet your spiritual teacher and you go and you get your tools and clothing, and then you go to your place of rest. So those are the traditional journeys that she was trained in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we kept training other people. We had some other journeys after that, just to help round out the experience of the student. But then level two is where you learn applications with that, where you contact the guide and you work on somebody else to heal them. And you have the guide take you through time, through reality, to the point, the moment where the client experienced a certain type of injury, and then you reintegrate the part of the self that was displaced from that injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's level two. And when we do, when we have the student work on people in person, and then we start working on remote targets.
Mm-hmm.
And then level three is where we, of course, you have to be a graduate of level one and two to get into level three class.
Mm-hmm.
Level three is where we have the person. We go over different aspects of, mind control and split personality programming, stuff like that. And then my dad gives some of his techniques, and then we have the grand finale is we have the student journey year by year to see the future
mm-hmm.
with the guide.
Mm-hmm.
And then we catalog what they come back with the answers. We've
yeah,
had over, I believe, over 40 people that have done that journey.
Yeah,
to see the future, and every single list has been completely consistent,
wow.
give or take a year. But all the events are consistent.
Yeah, that's one thing I want to talk about a little bit later in the show also,
okay.
and I'm sure people will be calling in with some questions for you too.
Okay.
How are people going to be able to get a hold of you?
Me personally, my email is info@SethCoronado.com, and also Seth@Sedona Shamanic School.
Okay.
I have my own website that I'm launching right now, SethCoronado.com.
Okay, that's great. And I have to tell you, listeners, I did level one and two. I don't think you guys were doing level three when I was...
Yeah, and we just added a level four.
Ah, okay.
And then we started doing some teacher training, but we're not doing that pretty much anymore.
Yeah, but that, it was quite a profound experience, and, I've practiced a lot of different things through my lifetime. I've always been led to the right thing at the right time. And I still remember that very first soul retrieval and how much stronger I was after that. And the best way I can describe it for the listeners is to say that it feels as if you're more whole, and it feels like a piece of the sun is being placed back into your heart. It's really an incredible experience, and the soul pieces do fly off because of usually some kind of shock or trauma. And I remember, I think it was the second one you guys did on me, when you kept saying, well, you were in this terrible, horrible car accident. You started describing it, because I kept saying, no, no. And you described it, and I went, oh, my God, that was the car accident I almost had. And I was so shook up by it that I was shaking for hours afterwards. I mean, I narrowly missed getting wiped out by about an inch, if that. And it would have been one of those horrendous, like, 20-car pileups. And my guidance kind of told me, you better watch this because something's going to happen here. And, thank God my reflexes are quick enough that, I didn't actually get in the accident. But it was like everybody stopped. all of the cars that would have been involved, everyone like froze for a couple moments. And as I drove away, I thought, oh my God, I'm shaking. I bet everybody else is shaking too. And it would have been really, really horrendous involving a tractor trailer rig, and I would have been the first car swatted. So it was pretty interesting that you guys picked up on that and brought me that piece back, the thought that I had actually died. And maybe we should talk about that a little bit first, too, about how the piece actually thinks that you've died, and so it flies off for whatever reason, right?
Yeah, well, it's like this. The soul is the value of perfect love, perfect unity, and perfect consciousness. If there's any value that goes against that, then part of the self disassociates because it doesn't want to be experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
It can't believe it, that it's experiencing it.
Mm.
Just like when you're experiencing something very pleasurable that is along those lines,
mm-hmm.
then the experience is heightened.
Mm-hmm.
But when the experience goes against it, the experience is also heightened, but with the added bit of, this isn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
The thought, this isn't happening. And that is because the soul doesn't want to have anything that is other than love and consciousness and unity.
I can understand that.
So once that disassociation occurs, then it leaves a hole in the aura, and the emotion and the grief, the anger, and all that that is a result of, it's like blood, it's like bleeding,
mm-hmm.
and pus, and that fills the wound. And if it's not dealt with, and the wound's not cleaned, and that soul piece isn't brought back, it can get hard, and it can get really dense, and then parasites can attach, etheric entities, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when a disease can start occurring, and that's where someone may get cancer or something like that, or whatever type of disease, doesn't matter. It could be a regular cold, or it could be alcoholism or something like that, pedophilia.
Oh,
but
sure.
There's a behavior pattern, a predictable behavior pattern that results from a given injury.
Mm-hmm. And that makes perfectly good sense, and it also makes sense why it opens you up for mind control.
Right. Well, that's what the Illuminati did, or whoever practices torture programming, is where that's how they create what's called an alter system or a multiple personality. The multiple personality can only be created through torture, period. It doesn't happen any other way.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is the person's tortured to the point where they don't believe that they're experiencing it, and then the person is torturing them, of course, is versed in hypnosis, and they're given keywords and stuff like that. Just like when a soldier goes into battle and they experience something, they're in a firefight,
mm-hmm.
and they see their buddies get killed, they kill people or whatever, and they may block it out, and then later in life, someone may drop a glass, something breaks on the ground, and then all of a sudden they're triggered.
Mm-hmm.
Or they keep experiencing over and over and over again, being in this firefight years and years later.
Yeah.
It's especially by an environmental trigger. Well, what the Illuminati did is what they do is they introduce the trigger so that the trauma gets triggered, and then they can, and once the whole thing is set up, that's where you can access different alters, have different alters come to front, and basically you turn someone into a human, into a living robot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, I'm correlating that with a lot of the different release therapies that I know, like one of the most powerful ones that I found has been holographic memory resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that put that together, Brent Baum, said that they found through studies that trauma is locked into the body through C7, so the base of your neck. It's locked into the body there at T minus 1 second, so the trauma minus 1 second. And so a lot of people don't actually remember the actual trauma. They might remember the second before that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And then they get triggered over and over and over again. And
right.
This is why talk therapy doesn't do it.
Right.
You know, you can't reach that. You have to actually go down to the body level and release the trauma from, you know, whatever place it's been locked into.
Yeah, right.
But yeah.
And when you get into torture programming, that can be very elaborate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked with my late husband about that because, you know, he was an agent for the CIA that did all that kind of stuff. And I saw programming come up in him many times. And to the point where, I mean, it was just bizarre. Little things would trigger him, and I'd be looking at him like, what the hell is wrong with you? And, I kept going, man, something's wrong because this is not right, you know. And I didn't know about all this mind control stuff at that point, but you could see things getting triggered.
Yeah.
And you could see things coming up, and it made absolutely no sense to me or the people around me. But to him, it made perfect sense, and he really thought that what he thought was going on was what was going on. And, it could get kind of scary at times. And then at one point I realized, whoa, wait a minute, you know, this has been programmed in. And then I started learning a little bit more about it and going back further and further and realizing that this guy had been traumatized since he was a baby.
Right.
And probably when he was in the womb, too. But basically, you know, that's how they
raised their family. That's when they would start if they were being serious about it.
Yeah, well, he was one of the major banking family, you know, elite. So, you know, they like to do that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm thinking about it right now. If anyone wants to research this, the torture programming, I suggest Siskel Wheeler and Fritz Springmeier, the Monarch series. It's absolutely completely right on. I have a client who had duplicate carousels and anthills, all the stuff that they describe in that stuff. I saw, and it's totally for real.
Yeah, and that brings up another thing, too. When I came back to town, I showed you guys that picture that somebody caught at one of the Quantum Vortex gatherings. And you know, it's a gathering of love and light and basically a reconnection and a stronger connection to the unconditional love grid. And, you know, we go through release and forgiveness and prayer, and then we do this manifestation and connection, and then we do the manifestation for whatever somebody wants in their life. But this woman was sitting there right next to me, and we were kind of done with everything, and she about fell off the couch. She said, oh, my God, I've just been beamed. And she said the blue laser reflected off of one of the projectors and smacked her. And she said, I think it just knocked out the implant. She had told me she had been implanted back in February and had gone down to Brazil to see John of God, and you know, that they thought it was gone, but then she felt like it wasn't gone. And so at that precise moment, for whatever reason, one of the people there took a photo, and as you've seen of the photo, it looks like a definite mechanical device that has flown right out of her, and it's hovering in the mid-room right over the Himalayan crystal, which is where we set up the violet flame, you know, to transmute everything. And you know, when I first saw that, I said, oh, my God, I've never seen anything like that. And then I showed it to you guys, and you and your dad both said, oh, yeah, we pull those out of people all the time. And the thing that was amazing to me is I don't think I've ever seen an actual photograph of one before. Now, I've heard things described, and I know that you see these things. And I have another friend here in town that, that sees these machines also. But you actually go in there and pluck them out of people, don't you?
Yeah, if it's there, and you can move it.
Yeah, and so what do you do, though, when they have so many? You know, because most people are implanted with
do your
one.
Best.
Yeah.
It just means that they're, they have a piece that's out that's still under contract, and a part of them doesn't want to give it up if you can't move it.
Oh.
It's just not time yet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that can be a problem.
My stuff couldn't be moved until a particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even detectable.
Mm. Yeah, that's another problem. You know, meanwhile, people's lives are being ruined, and, you know, they're being used as pawns by whoever's controlling the computer. You know, and that's a big concern for a lot of us because we really want to be able to help people. And, you know, I think this explains a lot why sometimes people that are really screwed up and you know they're nuts, you can't get to them. There's nothing you can do, really, to get to them other than the soul retrieval, as far as I know. You know, because I've tried with a couple people, and they're just nuts, you know. And you start getting on, onto one part, and all the other parts jump in and try to cover it up.
Right. You have to be able to release the underlying grief that's keeping the structure going.
Yeah.
And then the structure breaks, and then the pieces come back.
I had one who had, she was raised by satanic parents.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just really messed up, and she knew she was messed up, and she came out and And I did a couple soul retrievals on her, and there was so much in there. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, multiple.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just one after another. And then she kept taking them back. So it's like you take these things off, you return the soul pieces, and then the people keep like reattaching whatever probes or whatever are attached to them. And I realize it's other programs in the brain that allow this kind of stuff to happen.
Yeah, it's very deep. For that, you have to be able to get to the core, and it's the system is very, very protected. It's not an easy thing to do at all.
Yeah.
You have to have a, and actually, you can't even do it unless you have a safe house, that the person's programmers are dead, they're totally removed from their normal environment, or that
wow.
they've always known. They have to be totally removed.
Well, and I've heard of course, several cases of things like that, that deprogrammers have tried to help people, and they've actually triggered death programs. With
right, suicide programs.
Yeah.
I have those myself.
Man. You didn't get rid of them yet?
Well, they have to just run. Sometimes they have to. I mean, I am technically a multiple personality. I have two other major splits that are killing alters. One's designed to be used in small units, and the other one's supposed to be used by itself for solo assassinations. And so that's the. But they're designed primarily. They weren't designed to take the body like other systems.
Mm-hmm.
They were designed to be accessed by the computer, and then they had redundancies of keywords that could be said in the field to bring them forward, but I have not, to my knowledge, had any of those take the body.
Yeah, and that's another question that...
But they're there. And so what happened was, because of the soil cover I got, the walls between those altars starts to break down, and they have suicide programs that are in between those walls, so you don't remember
mm-hmm.
any of that stuff. And the kind that are in me are like, it's like an orgasm that goes for like 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours.
Hmm.
But instead of the pleasurable experience,
mm-hmm.
it's I have to shoot myself in the head. Or I have to move. I have to walk in front of a moving vehicle.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes they are actually place-specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard about a lot of that stuff. And I wonder how many of the suicides that we and weird accidents that we hear about are actually those programs.
Right.
You know, especially when somebody goes and tries to commit suicide, and you look at him and you go, man, you know, I never would have figured that person would do that.
Right.
You know, and then when you have a rash of them happening, I really think it's the government that's experimenting, you know, or the machine is experimenting.
I don't think they're experimenting. I think they're just carrying out and finishing missions.
Mm. Boy. Like, you know, when I looked at that Virginia Tech thing.
Yeah, that was a deliberate planned event.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Right.
The minute I saw it, I went.
And especially also this other last one that happened in Oklahoma.
Uh huh.
That was also a system that went in, and it was basically a satanic ritual.
Mm.
They were activated. They went in and they performed the last part of the ritual, which was doing a massacre and killing themselves. Because there was actually I'll get you the JPEG.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put it on your website so people can see it.
Okay.
But I actually found the map that they are creating is actually, they did a lot of these, makes a very large six-pointed star
mm-hmm.
that actually encompasses North and South America.
Uh-huh.
And so there's probably a lot more of these killings that had happened
mm-hmm.
Over the years in North and South America to put whatever their geometry is that they're putting there. And they'll do killings in specific locations and at specific times on that grid so that it's anchored into the earth.
Yeah, so that's activated. Meanwhile,
right.
A bunch of us are running around erasing those.
Right.
You know, and I think that may be why some places you go to, you're just like, ooh, this is creepy, you know, let's get out of here.
Right, because they anchor that astral state of terror to the earth.
Yeah.
Through the killing.
Well, you know, I've found not only myself, but quite a few people that I've talked with lately have been more awakened to this kind of stuff that's been going on, and more people are actually stepping out and going to those places and changing the energy. One of the big programs for that is, you know, the Organite gifting program where you just go and throw a bunch of the organite things.
Oh, yeah, the holy hand grenades. And
Yeah. And you just go and put those around to change the energy. And
those things are strong. They do work.
Oh, yeah, those are amazing. And so as we were traveling across the country, I was seeing more and more of these weird cell towers, you know, that they're not telling anybody about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, dang, you know, too bad I didn't have a trunk full of those things.
Well, it really doesn't matter. Their operation is very large. There's actually, with the strategy that's going on, there's actually a separation of consciousness that's occurring. There's the people that are ascending, that are going to be part of the new Earth, and then there are the group that's going downhill that the Illuminati is taking over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not a group that we want to be in.
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, so we're doing everything we can, all mm-hmm. of us, to help.
The group that lives will naturally leave the cities at the proper moment.
Yeah.
And then what will follow would be what's in the Bible is the rapture, where the 12,000 of the 12 original tribes that were created by Anunnaki are saved.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be interesting, you know, because, I mean, I can remember ever since Star Trek going, Scotty, beam me up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get me out of this place. These people are nuts. And it's gotten worse, not better. So, I think that... anything, listeners, that you can do to get your soul pieces back and to remove any kind of programming that you've been hit with. And it comes in subtle ways. Like I've had lots of different people on talking about the poisons in the air, you know, the chemtrails, all of the additives that they put into our food, a lot of which don't even have to be mentioned anymore. You know, and then how they're hooking up the HAARP system and everything to control you. But you have to have certain levels of these different poisonous and toxic substances in your body in order to allow the complete functioning of their mind control stuff. So it's interesting, you know, to see all the countries that are talking now about chipping people and everything else. And, mm-hmm. you know, we just can't let that happen. That's like,
well, what's going to happen is that it's going to happen, but it's going to happen to the group that's not supposed to ascend.
Mm.
The people that are supposed to ascend, that are being saved by the Anunnaki who are returning, are they're just going to be quietly move out of society.
Mm.
And because they're letting this next stage occur because it's a larger process where well, basically, World War III has to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's being used as a fulcrum to wipe out the Illuminati themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be interesting.
But it's going to be after they take control of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
The Illuminati will. But then they will be destroyed shortly thereafter.
Yeah, I know. I have a couple physicist friends I've been talking with and that are really privy to a lot of the information that's going on. And they've been telling me, you know, we're screwed. There's nothing anybody can do. And I told them, you know, I don't believe that. My belief and my knowing about this is that you just have to stay heart-centered,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have that open connection to the primal source of all that is.
Basically, the way it's going to be is that if you're one of those 144,000 that are marked, you will live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not very many people.
That's how it's going to work.
Yeah. And so, you know, my question has always been, you know, when does the critical mass get awakened? And, you know, and the other thing I heard, too, is that 144,000 is not 144,000 individuals, but rather 144,000 troops or tribes.
No. Yeah, in the Bible, it's 12,000 individuals from the original 12 tribes.
Right, but then it's all their descendants, too, that accept the light.
I believe it's total.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I could be completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And
because I used to think it was the number two, but
I believe that it's that small a number.
Wow, that's pretty scary. You know, unless a lot of them are already leaving before them.
No, it's all going to happen at once.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who have already left the planet in the last year that were really beacons of light,
mm-hmm.
and you know, maybe they're already on the other side preparing for everybody. But, yeah, it's just amazing stuff. And, And I got to tell you, you know, when I was over the other day and we were, you know, playing around with all the equipment and stuff and doing the soul retrieval on me, that was the most amazing soul retrieval yet, because there were so many pieces that came back to me. And, you know, your dad was working. I don't know if you were working on me at that time because I had my eyes closed, but your dad was, you know, seeing what was going on with me, and it was like, oh my God, I had no idea. I had so many thousands of soul pieces that were out somewhere.
Yeah, those that are going to make it through this change that's occurring have to have all the pieces back.
Yeah, well, I'm grateful I got mine back, because, boy, I'll tell you, I was really, I was surprised at how many. I mean, they were coming just in lines, just dancing in lines, and I had like a big X full of them that was coming at me, and then they went into a double spiral, and then I found myself someplace going, oh, hello. And I thought, well, I guess I'm supposed to light this place up, so I did, and I thought, well, that's very interesting. You know, we'll see what happens with all this, but I feel much stronger, and that's one thing I want to get across to the listeners. You know, they probably haven't heard about this, or if they did, it was just, you know, once before last year when I had you guys on, but basically, the strength, the inner core strength that comes from this is so important, because the more of your soul pieces you get back, the stronger you are, and the more you remember who you are, and the less ability that anybody has to convince you otherwise. And so I think that's pretty interesting stuff. And also, if you guys would talk about, you know, kind of the warnings that you were given. I was really surprised that your dad said he'd been approached, and you know, I saw the email. So, you know, I think that's quite interesting that... the people who are supposedly patriots and are, you know, supposedly protecting the American citizenry are going after people who are spiritual people who are just trying to save people's souls and threatening to kill them.
Right.
And I don't know how many times you guys have been beset with that kind of stuff, but the listeners of my show know, you know, I had the black helicopter come after me, and you know, people pointing cell phones at me, and they weren't taking my picture either, and you know, things like that. So I don't know. How long have you guys been plagued with this kind of stuff, where you were actually approached and then had the email start?
The last 4 years since I started getting, I was broken free.
Oh.
5 years. However long it's been.
Okay, so they kind of consider that to be a big threat to their little program.
Yeah, there seems to be a line that they can't cross unless they try to get you to cross the line.
Mm.
And they can't get into your space unless you do something.
Mm.
So they try to get you to do something.
Yeah.
Just to get in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm.
So they have to negotiate your death to get the sniper's bullet in place.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, this shot can't be done. You can defeat the guy at a distance. Because he doesn't really want to be doing that, because ultimately, everyone knows what one should or should not be doing.
Right. Well, and that's an interesting point too, because you know, I've got plenty of friends that are gun-toting Arizonans, and basically said, you know, I'm not going down without a fight, and blah blah blah. And I tell them, you know, there's another way to fight. You don't have to use guns.
Yeah, you have to go asymmetrical.
Yeah, and you have to go.
Firearms, super last resort, and you don't even want to. If you see, they have relative superiority at that level.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
When you go with a handgun against a team of seasoned Delta operatives,
yeah,
no contest.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
You have to do it. You have to maintain relative superiority. You have to take a completely different route. You can't be there when they're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's an interesting point, too.
One more interesting point. And what happens is actually their subconscious minds actually help you stay away, because they don't want to be doing it either.
Yeah, you know, I
got they don't, they don't, because nobody wants to hurt someone that's doing genuine good and is healing people and is a good person.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I used to talk with my late husband about that, and, you know, his big thing was you don't ever want to harm an innocent.
Right.
But when those programs would kick in, I got to tell you, he was thinking about harming me.
Right.
And, you know, God's protection was all around me. And, you know, but I could see these things coming up in his eyes, and just for no reason, you know, the weirdest things would, like, trigger it, and you'd go, whoa,
mm-hmm.
that's interesting, and you just stand, you know, in your power and go, yeah, I don't think so, we're not going to play that game.
Yeah, even when the operative begins to hurt a innocent,
mm-hmm.
what happens they negotiated their own death.
Mm.
So they have to stay in a certain parameter. So that's that to try to get you to do something.
Well, yeah, like when I left your house the other night, there was somebody following me, and I could tell, you know, you can pick up these things. And just like I pick up the agents the day that the black helicopter came over, and I started talking to them because I knew they were monitoring me and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I'm driving back, and I'm just talking to them and going, how can you do this? You know, how could you, as patriots, go against people who are only trying to do good and consider us to be some kind of terrorist when the fact is we're, you know, we're lovers of our Constitution and lovers of our country and would never do anything to harm our country.
Probably because they've been super traumatized.
Yeah.
And they have superior officers that are systems or are completely satanic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they're not multiples. They've already given them, that part of them that has the ability to love, they've already lost that piece. And they're in a state where they can't regain it in this lifetime.
Well, yeah, and I think that's why my late husband was taken out, you know, and the first thing that I thought when I found his body was that he was taken out by his team, basically,
uh-huh.
his higher-ups, and it flashed on me so strong, I was afraid to touch him for a minute.
Right, he'd had that charge.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, you know, and I had to call in my protection before I could do CPR on him. It was like, man, you know, and I didn't realize at that time that something like that could happen. But what was happening was he was moving into love because he didn't have any love before then. And as he moved more and more into it, he got to be more and more dangerous to their programs.
Right.
So, unfortunately, I didn't know about soul retrieval.
Yeah, see, if he had begun to heal, he would have, at a distance, jeopardized the integrity of the rest of the team because they would have started healing as an automatic result, even if he didn't have contact with them.
Oh, yeah, and he was healing.
Right.
He was making great strides. In fact, he made such great strides in the space of 14 months that it just shocked me. I had no idea somebody could move that far that fast.
Mm-hmm.
But he did, and so when that happened, I, you know, as I thought about it later, I went, well, first of all, I know they took him out. And secondly, I know that he had, you know, implants and programs and all that kind of stuff. So it was quite interesting. And I wish that I had known about soul retrieval before, but I guess I wasn't supposed to. So that was, you know, something personally that I've seen. And like I said, you know, I've had him try to insert thoughts into my head, and I just start laughing because I know what's me and I know what's not me. And they do all kinds of little gyrations, so you do have to move your frequency up away from what they can do. And, you know, I don't want the listeners to be in fear about any of this stuff, because fear is what they're looking for, you know, and that's how they get into you. So instead, you have to just go to your heart of hearts and, you know, be in that golden white light, that love connection, and forgive yourself especially, and that's your strength. You know, and just don't be afraid. You know, what do you got to be afraid of? You know, it's like I said in, Conan the Barbarian, you know, when the love interest, the warrior, warrioress that dies says, what, do you want to live forever? It's like people, you know, it's just like getting a new car. Don't worry about it. You know, it's one of those things where you have to, you have to really connect with the courage within your heart and not run away, because if you run away, you know, we're looking at Nazi America in ways that the Nazis would have wet dreams over.
Mm.
They didn't have the capabilities then that we have now. So I consider...
Well, the Nazis just continuing their program.
Right.
Right.
Right, exactly, but it's way, way far beyond what they had back in the 30s and 40s. So it's really important for every person to be in connection with that heart energy and to find the courage within themselves to stand up to all these people and say, no, I'm not playing that game. you know, do everything within your power to keep yourself out of fear and just in love. And like, as we made this tour around the U.S. doing our quantum vortex experiences, you know, and I would talk to people and tell them what was going on, and some people would say, well, how can I find out about this? And I just look at them and go, it's too late to find out about it. You don't have the time it's going to take, because you're going to be in shock for months, if not years. And you're not going to believe it, and you're going to keep searching, and you're going to be in more and more shock, and we don't have time for that. So, you know, I wasn't about to go into all this and tell everybody all about what's really happening, because it's not going to do us any good to have everybody in shock and fear.
It's good for people to know, though.
Yeah, they need to know. They need to know it's occurring, but they don't need to know all the details, you know.
I think they should know the details.
Well,
that way you know what it is you're coming in contact with.
Yeah, sometimes.
And there's no illusions.
Right.
Some can, some can't.
I've watched too many people draw into fetal positions.
Yeah, well, so, I think they need to see the truth.
Yeah, I would like them to.
One thing that I hate the most is that I come in contact with people who just simply don't believe me.
Oh, I know.
That what happened to me, and that I've killed people and all this, they don't believe it.
Yeah, I know, they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
It shakes up their world too much, because if they believe that, if they realize what the truth is, then it means that their life has been a lie. And then that leaves them like a gyro that's on spin, you know. They have no idea which way to go and what to do, and it actually paralyzes them.
They just need their soul piece back to handle it.
Yeah, they do. That's the thing. They need the soul pieces back so that they can be strong enough to deal with all this stuff. So let's give your contact information again. We're almost out of time here.
Okay. www.sedonashamanicschool.com, and then sethcoronado.com, and my personal email is seth@sedonashamanicschool and info@sethcoronado.com. My father's email is bluecloud@sedonashamanicschool, and if you want to look, if you want to come to class, if you want to have class, come and have training or whatever, then contact my father at bluecloud@sedonashamanicschool. He handles bookings.
And then how much do you guys charge for?
Levels 1 and 2 is $500. Mm-hmm. Level 3 is $500. And our sessions right now are $150 an hour. And but that can be also purchased in half-hour increments of $75. And those are just prices right now. Those may be subject to change at any moment, obviously.
Yeah, well, yeah, it depends on
it depends on demand.
Yeah, like anything else. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if people really understood the difference that it would make in their lives to have the soul retrievals done, then you guys would be swamped. You know?
Right.
You and all of the students and everybody else. And I remember when I was going through the program, that was a couple of years ago, wasn't it? Last year, a year ago or something. I don't remember. Anyway, at that time, I remember there was a group of American soul retrieval people who went over to Russia to teach the shaman there because they had lost that particular tradition. But actually, soul retrieval has been a tradition that's been in every culture throughout the world. And so every indigenous culture has had that and had the journey drumming and all that kind of stuff. And they're finding that that's such an incredible way to help people to heal. And as you know, I've sent you guys clients, you know, because when I'm doing the doctoring, I don't want to have to stop and do the soul retrieval stuff. It's oftentimes way too complex, and I don't want to have to get into it, you know, especially because it creates other problems if you're trying to do the doctoring along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just send them to you guys and let you guys work them over for a while. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back and they're better. It makes
right.
my job easier.
Yeah.
So I've done that with quite a few people because it's been very much kind of like the little chink in the wall, you know, and if you can't get that little chink in the wall and get it started, you can't crack the wall and get people healed. So oftentimes I find that a lot of people who are not healed despite having been to every kind of practitioner there is, if they haven't been for a soul retrieval, that's usually what the thing is. And I know that you guys have helped quite a few people with that. I've seen the differences in people, and they've always really enjoyed it, too. So that's a good thing. If any of the listeners are around Sedona or coming to Sedona, they might want to look you guys up. And as always, listeners, if you didn't catch any of that, just go ahead and drop me an email, and I will be happy to give you the information or forward your emails on to Seth and to Blue Cloud. And other than that, again, it's SedonaShamanicSchool.com, and you guys can go there on the web and take a look at the programs that they have to offer. And
right now I'm doing training over the phone. I do sessions and training over the phone. And while I'm doing the session, I actually train the person,
mm-hmm.
the psychic ability to heal the people do soul recovery, using a different method than the power animal soul recovery.
Okay.
And it's the same price, $75 for half an hour,
mm-hmm.
hours are $150 right now.
Excellent. Okay, so I think, listeners, if you're looking for that other piece of what could be the problem with what's going on with you, you might try soul retrieval and extraction. And I think that from my own experience, you know, that has helped me immeasurably. And I've had everything thrown at me, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. And, you know, probably like a number of people have been, you know, programmed at some point. But, you know, I've had a lot of spiritual teachers come along the way and help me out at specific points. And, of course, if you've been reset, I'm not sure yet how you know if you've been reset. You know,
what
where
you
they take
you
and they have you live a lifetime someplace else and then they regress you back to a younger age.
I don't know anything about that. Sounds like some type of torture programming.
Yeah, well, it's actually something that happens. And I'll have to have a couple people on that know about that. Al Bielek used to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, Al Bielek, right.
Yeah. Yeah, the Philadelphia experiment and how they've had that capability for quite some time.
Yeah, you got to be in that super Illuminati frequency range,
in
that world.
Yeah. Yeah, very,
they
very
strange. They can't just do that to a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be on a particular frequency band.
Oh, really?
Of reality, yeah, to be for that to happen.
Oh, no, isn't
that's
that?
A very small amount of people that would be done to.
Very interesting.
Yeah. That's why, for instance, they were able to kill your husband, they couldn't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
He was in that world more than you were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I knew that, too. You know, I knew that I had protection that he didn't have. And he used to scream at me because I, you know, wasn't practicing as much as I should have, you know, with the guns and stuff. And I said, you know, I don't even need that. You have no idea. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't get it, you know, because to him, I mean, he never went any place without at least three guns on him and a bunch of knives and everything else. And, you know, that was a whole different world, and I'm glad I didn't have to live in that world.
Mm-hmm.
Really. But anyway, well, our time is up. So I want to thank you very much for being on the show. It's always fun talking with you. And let's see what else we can do to get some more people woken up and free of these programs as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what you guys are doing now with the Tesla stuff in combination with the Organite and everything else is just, it's really fun.
Yeah, trying to find the cutting edge.
Yeah, that is so much
stuff.
Fun. Listeners, I had 8,000 volts run through me. It was great. I loved it. Madeline was there too. Oh, it was really funny. I don't know what happened. I had my eyes closed, Seth, but I guess something got disconnected at some point, and we all got zapped. Me, Madeline,
oh,
and
you
your
mean
dad.
The, what do you call it? The cell energizer device?
Yeah.
Right.
That was funny. All three of us got zapped. It was like,
yeah,
whoop!
Not to be confused with your usual torture programming stuff where they do use electricity, just so you know, the listeners.
Oh, yeah. This is completely different.
Entirely.
This is the good stuff. This is stuff that actually helps, and you can actually feel the difference. So that was pretty cool. So anyway, listeners, I hope that you have enjoyed the program. And we've been talking with Seth Coronado of SedonaShamanicSchool.com. And these are the guys that do these things here in Sedona all the time. If you're in the area, you might want to contact them and have soul retrieval done. And you guys also do tours and things, too.
No, we're not doing that anymore.
Oh,
so right now, the soul recoveries and everything outweighing everything else, and that's really where the power is at in helping people. The tour is just someone being taken around to sacred sites or whatever, and we just don't have time for that.
Oh, yeah.
We're just working on healing. But however, we do have people that do that, mm-hmm. that are very spiritually minded and they're very powerful people, that to do the tours. We just, me and my father don't do the tours anymore.
Yeah, I wondered, because things are speeding up so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And
you're very welcome.
If you have any questions, drop Seth or Blue Cloud a line, or drop me a line, and you know, I'll point you over to where they are. And you know, this would be something that's well worth the money to go get this done, people. I can tell you that from personal hands-on experience. Been there, done that, and it was definitely worth it. Changed my life for the better, and very quickly, in the space of one session. So until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.